right, so today we're closing up a series that we have been in over the last few weeks called Make It Count. I don't know if you know it or not, but this week is Thanksgiving week. How many of you, that was news to you today, and you're like, uh-oh. So I know what happens over Thanksgiving. There's some people that'll be traveling, some people that'll be doing a lot of cooking, some of us will be doing a lot of eating, and then some of us will be doing a lot of napping afterwards, right? So a lot of things take place during the Thanksgiving week, and we can get busy with the week and sometimes forget why we celebrate and why we have a Thanksgiving day. But what always amazes me is why we only have Thanksgiving one day out of the year. Because the reality is, we should have thankful hearts each and every day of the year. And hopefully you do. But Thanksgiving is a good reminder for us as we come together as family, just to remember the wonderful blessings that God has given us. How many of you have been blessed by God, right? All of us have. And sometimes we recognize those blessings are right in front of us. Sometimes we're going through life and we don't even recognize the wonderful blessings that are there. But today we're going to talk about how to make your gratitude count. And that leads me to an important question as we close out the year 2025 and we look to the year 2026. What does gratitude mean in this time, in this season of our life and in our world? What does gratitude mean? What does it look like? Because if we're honest, gratitude has become one of the words that we can say quickly, but we practice rarely. It's something that we value, but we often overlook. Yet researchers and theologians and even ancient philosophers agree that gratitude is one of the most powerful forces of human life. I did some study this week, and there's some interesting things that I found about gratitude that I want to share with you. Robert Emmons, one of the leading researchers in the field, says that gratitude begins with an affirmation of goodness, recognizing that despite what's wrong in our world, what's wrong in our circumstances, that there is still good to see. Isn't that true? I mean, we get so caught up in the negative. We get so caught up in the hard things of life. We get so caught up in all the junk that's going on around us that a lot of times we fail to recognize the goodness that is even in the midst of all that. That there are good things that are taking place. And then he says that gratitude pushes us deeper. It acknowledges that the source of that goodness is outside of ourselves. It's recognizing that the blessings in our lives don't start with us and they don't end with us. There's a monk by the name of David Stendhal Rast who puts it this way. He says that gratitude is recognizing something as valuable and recognizing that it was given freely, that it is a gift, it is grace. Recognizing that there are valuable things, recognizing and openly and freely giving thanks for that. Even Cicero, the Roman scholar, said that gratitude is the parent of all virtues. In other words, every other virtue grows out of a thankful heart. But there's a surprising part. Research says that gratitude is one of the most neglected virtues in our lives. We know that gratitude matters, but we rarely slow down long enough to practice it. And yet when we do, we actually cultivate gratitude, and it changes everything. Studies also show that it lowers stress. How many of you need stress lowered in your life besides me? We all need stress lowered, and studies say that gratitude will lower stress. Gratitude not only lowers stress, but it strengthens emotional resilience. And it even improves physical health. Now, I found that one interesting because as we come to an end of one year and we begin a new year, there's something that happens at the beginning of a new year, and everybody starts setting their New Year's resolution, and the biggest one out there is that I'm going to get healthy this next year. We all want to be healthy, right? So what do? We go out and we buy all the exercise equipment. We get that exercise bicycle. We go home. We use it. And then in February, we put it out there on Marketplace, hoping that somebody will at least give us part of our money back. We want to be healthier. We know that we need to be healthier. And the studies are showing that gratitude will actually help you be healthier in your life. And one of the most recent studies found that people with higher levels of gratitude had a 9% lower risk of dying in the next 4 years. Gratitude will actually help you live longer. Think about that. It adds to our life. But the truth is, long before modern science ever discovered the benefits of gratitude, Scripture taught them. God designed us for gratitude. He wired thankfulness into our structure of faith. Well, today I want us to look at a very clear picture of gratitude. In Luke chapter 17, we have a wonderful story. And when I think of gratitude, a lot of times this is the verse or the passage that I will go back to on gratitude, because it does give us a clear picture of what gratitude should look like in our life. What we have in this story is a story of a group of 10 lepers. And these lepers cry out to Christ, and their life is changed because of it. Notice in Luke chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 11. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time to come together to study your word together. And I pray that over the next few moments that we would allow you this opportunity to speak to our hearts, to show us what you would have each one of us to see. God, we thank you for meeting with us. We thank you for all that you do for us, the many blessings that you pour out upon us. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Now, to understand something about leprosy in that day is very important for us to get the real picture of what is going on. When a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they could no longer be with their family. They could no longer go to work. They could no longer do regular activities. Matter of fact, they had to go and live outside of the community. And so they would develop leper colonies where these lepers would go and live by themselves, because it's such a contagious disease that they didn't want to pass it along to other people, and other people didn't want to get it, and so they would be out by themselves in their little colonies. And what would happen is people would pass by going into the community. The lepers would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that others wouldn't come close to them. And when they were yelling out unclean, what they were doing was they were declaring to others that I have a problem. I have an illness. You do not want what I have got. But not only were they declaring that to others, but they would also be reminding themselves every time that they cried out that because of my condition, I'm living in isolation. Because of my condition, I am separated. Because of my condition, I have no hope. Because of my condition, my life is terrible. And so these men outside in this colony would live, and they would be by themselves, separated from everyone else. But they would watch as other people went about their normal life, living life each and every day with not the problems that they have. And these people were looked down upon as outcasts. But when these individuals on this day were crying out to others that were unclean as people passed by, they look up and they notice that Jesus is coming down the road. Now, obviously, at this point, they know about Jesus. They've probably heard about Jesus. Maybe they've been able to witness from a distance some of the things that Jesus has done. But when they see Jesus coming down the road in their hopeless condition without anywhere to go, all of a sudden they have just a little glimmer of hope. Maybe Jesus will do something today. Maybe Jesus will be able to help us today. These men that weren't able to go home at night, they didn't get to hang out with their families, they didn't get to worship together with others, they didn't get to sit around the table and share a meal because this illness had taken everything away from them. All that hope was gone, but now they get a glimpse of hope. You know, this story doesn't tell us much about the Samaritan man here that we're going to look at a little bit deeper. But every time I read the story, I begin to wonder what his life was like before he received that diagnosis. I wonder if he had a family, if he was married, if he had children, and that his life was normal and that he had a job. Was it a good job? Was it a hard job? Was it a job that paid well? Did he have all the things in life that he wanted, and then all of a sudden the doctor gives him the news that you have this horrible disease? And when he hears those words, what went through his mind, what went through his body at that moment when he heard that devastating news? What was his life like before he had to go and join this colony of others who had this horrible disease that had to be separated from everything else? And you can just imagine how horrible that life must have been and how low their hope really was. But they look and they see Jesus coming down the road. They'd been shouting out unclean to everybody else, and now they cry out to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And at that moment, Scripture says that Jesus noticed them. Jesus looked at them. And what that means when it says that is Jesus was able to see them in the condition that they were in, and he had compassion on them. He didn't look past them. He didn't look through them. He didn't look beyond them. He wasn't like others that were possibly walking down the road that day and just with their heads down, don't make eye contact. Just keep on moving. Mothers pulling their children in close as they moved to the other side of the road so that they would not be tempted to run over to these people. The things that these guys must have witnessed each and every day. But now at this moment, Jesus notices them, and he notices their condition. He takes heart of what is going on. Every day, as they would cry out with no hope, and now the one who can give them hope takes notice of them. It says in verse 14, he looked at them. He noticed them. He saw them. He saw their pain. He saw their hopelessness. He saw them in their isolation. And when you study the life of Jesus, you will see that Jesus draws near to those that are hurting. In Psalms 34, verses 17 and 18, it says that the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help, and he rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And that's exactly what is happening on this day, that Jesus notices them. He looks at them. He sees the condition. And then Jesus tells them, he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, this was a crazy thing for Jesus to say to these guys, because the only reason that you would ever go show yourself to the priest when you're in this condition is to go show the priest that I have somehow been healed from this disease. And then the priest would look you over and he would determine whether you were healed or not, and he would determine whether you're able to go back to your family. And these men were told by Jesus, take a step and go. They hadn't been healed yet. Why would you want to head towards the priest when you still have sores all over your body, when you're still not well? But they step out in faith, doing what Jesus told them to do. I don't know about you, but I've experienced this many times in my life where Jesus says to step out. Step out in faith. Take that step of faith. Before you see the miracle, you take a step of faith. And it's after you take that step of faith that you see what God is doing, what God is up to. Remember when the children of Israel were at the Jordan River getting ready to cross into the promised land. The Jordan River was at flood stages. It was overflowing at the banks. And I can imagine as they stood there looking at the river that there was no hope of getting to the other side. But they were told, step out into the river. The promised land is right there. Step out into the river. Can you imagine what must have been going through their mind that this river is at flood stages, it's flowing quickly. And if we step out into this water, we have a chance that we're going to be washed away. But the children of Israel obeyed God. And we don't know how far they had to step out. Did their foot just touch the water? Did they get ankle deep? Did they get knee deep? We don't know. But in faith, they stepped out. And what Scripture tells us is that the river dried up right where they were at. They were able to walk across on dry ground. Why? Because God had done something great, but they had to first take that step of faith. And oftentimes that's how God works in our lives. How He says you must take a step of faith. And that's what happened with these 10 men. They took a step of faith. And now they're walking down the road. And as they're walking down the road heading towards the priest, all of a sudden their bodies are healed. Can you imagine what that must have been like? You got 10 guys who've been isolated from society. They have this horrible disease. There's no hope of healing for them. And as they step out in faith and they start walking, all of a sudden, their bodies are healed. And I don't think they just continued to casually stroll down the road. I don't think they just looked at their body and went, oh, that's cool. Let's keep going to the priest. I bet there was some excitement on the road that day. Wouldn't you agree? That there's something that they're like, look at me, tell another, look, my body's healed. Look, let's hurry up and get to the priest now because he's going to send us home. We're going to be able to get back to our families. We're going to be able to get back to our jobs. We're going to be able to get back to a good life. We're not going to have to stand out in isolation anymore. Our life is drastically changed. It will never be the same again. What an exciting time that must have been. And I can even picture them probably start running to get to the priest as quick as they can. But in the story, it says there was one. There was one who said, wait a second. There's one who noticed and recognized the one who had done the healing. And he said, before I go any further, I have to go back. Before I go any further, I have to turn around and go back to the one who did the miracle. One saw more than just a miracle. He saw the man behind the miracle. And as we step into this moment with these men, there's a couple lessons that we can see through this passage that I want to point out this morning. And the first one is this, that real gratitude, the kind of gratitude that makes a difference, will see what others miss. One man took notice of what really took place that day. All 10 men received the same miracle. All 10 felt the same healing. But one man saw things a little bit different than the others. You see, all of them saw the blessing. All of them saw their new future. All of them saw their freedom. But the one saw Jesus. You see, he recognized the source of all of the blessings. He recognized that everything that had just happened in his life came from God. What Jesus had done that day was an incredible miracle for all of them. But one looked beyond just the healing and he saw the man behind the healing. And that same thing is true many times in our world today. We live in a country that is extremely blessed. Blessed in so many different ways. And a lot of people have been blessed in the exact same way. But there are a few who recognize the one behind the blessings. Very few take time to recognize that everything that we have, every blessing that we have, comes from God and God alone. To take time to realize that all the benefits that we have, everything that we have in this life, come from Him. How many of you have been blessed in your life? That's every hand. I just said everybody, remember? Everybody. We've all been blessed, right? But I wonder how many of us take the time to recognize each and every day those blessings. As I read those statistics earlier that I read this week, it was just amazing to me, and you could see it. Everything that they were saying that I was reading of how people go through life and they don't take time to recognize the source of our very life, the source of all that we have, that God is the giver of all good things, that God is the one who gives us these blessings. And this man, he saw Jesus. He recognized God. A lot of times we experience the blessings, but we miss the fingerprints of God that are on our lives. But gratitude sharpens our visions. It helps us to see God and to see His goodness in places that others overlook. We can see Him in the small things. I think that's one of the easiest places to miss is in the small things. We're just going through life, and small things happen each and every day, and we just keep right on going. We don't take time to pause and recognize the small things that happen. A lot of times, we miss it in the ordinary things, because we just go through life each and every day. We do the same things, and we miss God in the ordinary. Sometimes we miss those blessings in the interruptions of life. How many of you have had life throw an interruption at you lately? It happens. We get our plan, we're going, we think everything's going to go this way, and then all of a sudden something interrupts all of that. Shane talked about that a couple of weeks ago. How we set our plans, and we should be saying, if the Lord wills, because our plans can change in a moment. And it's even in the interruptions of life that God is moving and God is working, but a lot of times we miss it because we focus in on the interruption. It's in the answered prayers and in the unanswered prayers that the blessings come. It's in the things that you prayed for, and it's in the things you didn't even know that you needed to pray for. God is at work in every area of our life, and it does us good each and every day to pause and to reflect on all the good things that God is doing, remembering that God is doing great things around us. You see, you can receive the blessing and you still miss the one who gave it unless you choose gratitude, unless you choose to stop, unless you choose to reflect on the goodness of God and to have a grateful heart. The second thing that we see is that real gratitude returns to the source. It is one thing to recognize the blessing, but it's another to return to the source. This one returned back to Jesus. He turned, he said, before I go any further, I'm going back to the source of the blessing. And he goes back and he's praising God for what has happened, and he falls down and he worships at the feet of Jesus because he recognizes the source of the blessing. He recognizes Jesus as that source. Gratitude that counts is a gratitude that leads you back to the presence of Jesus Christ. I've shared this story before of a man who had a job interview in downtown Dallas. He'd been out of work for a while. He'd had several different interviews, and all those interviews went south, and he had kind of given up, and he had this one last interview, and he's thinking, this is my only hope for a job. So he's driving into downtown Dallas, and the traffic is horrible, and so he gets behind on his schedule. He gets down to the building that he needs to go in for the interview, and it's almost time for the interview. And he's driving around looking for a parking spot, and there is no place to park. So he starts praying and calling out to God, and he's like, God, I really need this job. So if you would please open up a parking spot for me so I can make it into the interview on time. If you will do that for me, then I'll make sure that I'm in church every Sunday. I will take care of feeding the poor. I'll do anything that you ask me to do. I'll surrender my life to you. You can use me in whatever way. Just open up a parking spot. And as he's driving around and he's praying this, there's a car that pulls out right in front of the building, a perfect parking spot. And he whips into that parking spot and he says, never mind, God, I found one. And isn't that the way it is in our life so many times? We're crying out to God. We're expecting God for this. We're wanting God to do these things. And when the blessings come, we're like, oh, never mind. I did that. And we forget the source. We forget to go back to the source, to look at the source. We forget that God is the giver and that Christ is the one who opens up those doors. The third thing that we see is that gratitude cannot stay quiet, that a thankful heart praises loudly. I love it when the healed man realized what Jesus had done. He came back and it says he was praising God in a loud voice. Now keep in mind, this man is used to yelling out and crying out in a loud voice that I'm unclean. But now his cry in a loud voice has changed to not unclean, but praise God for what he has done. Praise God for the change that he has made in my life. Praise God for healing me. And he's crying out, praise God. He came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. I wonder this morning, how grateful are we for the many blessings of God? Are we grateful today for all he's done for us? You are just as bad as the early service. How grateful are we? Are we grateful enough that we can cry out and we say, thank you, God, for all that you've done for us? So let's try this again, all right? I gave you a heads up this time. How grateful are you for all the blessings that God has done for you? Are you grateful today? There you go. And that's the way our life should be every day. We found out that there's health benefits in that. Listen, you just extended your life by me forcing you to do that. You probably extended your life by at least 30 minutes today. All right? So let's keep it up. Let's keep going and praise God loudly and let the world know of all the blessings. I shared with you a few weeks back of interaction that I had at one of the grocery stores in town where lady asked how my day was. I said, every day's a great day, and it opened up another conversation with a gentleman. Anyway, it's been exciting. Everywhere I go now, I'm expecting to have that kind of conversation. And so we were in Atlanta this last weekend for a graduation, and I slipped out, and I was over buying a couple bottles of water, and there was a lady at the cash register right there, and I'm pumped. I'm ready. I know she's going to ask me how my day's going. And I'm going to be able to tell her every day's a great day. And she's going to ask me why every day's a great day. And I'm going to be able to tell her why every day's a great day. And I walk up and I set the bottles of water down. And she goes, how's your day going? I'm like, yes, here we go. And I said, ma'am, every day is a great day. And I'm expecting her to say, what makes everything a great day? And you know what she says? She says, you're absolutely right. Every day's a great day. Because every day we are so blessed by God. And I was so disappointed. But that's the way our day should be, isn't it? Recognizing that every day is a great day. Every day is a blessing from God. Every day is a gift from Him. And He blesses our lives in so many ways. It does us good, not one day out of the year, but every day out of the year, recognizing the goodness of God. And can I tell you that the goodness of God begins in our life, truly begins, when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we recognize that over 2,000 years ago, that while we were dead in our trespasses and sin, that Christ came to this world. The one we did not deserve took the place on the cross. And He took our death that we deserved. And because of what He did for us on the cross, because of His death, His burial, His resurrection, that now we who were unclean are now clean in Him. The sin that had separated us from God has now been washed away. And we stand whiter than snow. He washed it away. Our lives have been changed. And our lives have not only been changed for today, but our lives have been changed for all of eternity. Before coming to Christ, we were unclean. But after coming to Christ, now we are changed. Changed forever because of what Christ did for us. And He is the only one that could do that. And He did it for you, and He did it for me, because He loves us that much. Every day, we ought to reflect on that and be able just to fall down at His feet, saying, praise God for the healing that has taken place inside of us. Can I remind you today that our lost condition that separates us from God is worse than any disease that this world has ever seen, and it leads to death and separation from God. But Christ came to take care of all of that. And in just a moment, we're going to reflect on what Christ has done. And it is a time for us to go back and just remember the salvation that comes through Him. as we had these elements of the Lord's Supper today, to remember His body that was broken for us, to remember His blood that was poured out upon us, and to remember the healing that comes from Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You today for this wonderful reminder in this story, reminder of how to have gratitude in our life and how important gratitude is, important to remembering what Christ has done for us. And God, I pray that over these next few moments, we would take time and we would just reflect on all that You have done. And God, I pray right now for anyone that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, and God, right now, You would just draw them close, and today would be the day that they say yes to You, that they say, yes, I will follow You, that their lives would be changed. God, I pray that even right now, we might reflect on the small things of what You're doing in our lives, all the goodness that comes from You. And it's in Christ's name that I pray.